Well, it's really our pleasure to welcome Coach Mark D'Antonio. This is hard to believe you're entering your 10th season at Michigan State as head coach, and we're just so proud that you're a part of our team and the way in which you've not simply had wins on the field, but lots of young men have a much better life because they've been a part of your program. And I want to start out, I was watching you at the academic gala, and the smile on your face when all those players were coming across. It was terrific.
Yeah, it's special to watch them walk across the stage and be a part of something like that. And, you know, you have 300-plus athletes to walk across that stage, and that's just a sampling. And then you hear from some of them, and you hear what they're getting their degrees in, and then that's just a sampling of really what's going on at this university. And so it's you sort of sit back, I think, and take in the big picture. There's a lot of people being educated here. Yeah. At a very, very high level.
You know, I think one of the things that you look at is, and I was watching the reaction as well at the academic gala, and I noticed the smile when our student athletes from football came across, but I also noticed a smile when your niece walked across. And it speaks a lot about family. And, you know, Michigan State is such a special place. Mm-hmm. We both have had children go mm-hmm. here, mm-hmm. Extended family with your niece who's on our soccer, mm-hmm. our soccer team, but that brought an ounce of joy, I could tell, to the face as well.
Yeah, Megan's pretty special to us, and she's, you know, she's succeeding at a high level academically, and in soccer she's working it. So, you know, it's good. It's in the family. The Green's in the family, yeah. So it runs pretty much through the entire D'Antonio family.
What is a night like that for a head football coach? What does a night like that mean to you when you see individuals like a Sarah Covan who? You know, I went home and scolded my children because she gets up and sings. She's a Rhodes Scholar. She was serving in ambulances in Israel. But she is an extreme but just a remarkable story about Michigan State. But as a coach, watching the kids, watching that, does that ground you as a leader at all?
Yeah, you know, and first of all, I did this exact same thing. I went home and said the same thing. So, but, you know, I think that When I sat down there and I watched our players walk across the stage, you know, one of our goals is to graduate our players and help them launch their careers. Mm-hmm. And then when you see the guys that I think we had 17, 18 guys walk yeah. across the mm-hmm. stage and see them and see the work that they're doing, it's just sort of like it sort of reaffirms what you're trying to do. It can't be all about football. It just can't. You know, otherwise I think you become – it's not rational, really. Mm-hmm. So, it was very meaningful, and you know, I've had an opportunity to watch our guys over the last how many years we've been doing this?
We've been around.
Yeah. Seven, eight, nine, ten.
Right. It's the 19th year.
Right.
It started when I was provost. Yeah.
So, it's a great venue. It gives a chance for all of our student athletes yeah. to walk up there, and for our coaches and our administration, and so many different other people to see that.
Well, it also stresses, because I know you've been supportive of your players going to New Zealand, Australia, as part of a study abroad experience, to give them that special aspect of a student experience. That's relatively unusual for football players who tend to be captured in conditioning prior to fall opening practice. And so that's been, I think, a terrific specific opportunity for what student athletes are really asking for.
Yeah, you know, this will be the second or third yeah. year that we've done it. Again, when you look at the goals of our program, we got to win. I understand that, yeah. but part of this is about growth mm-hmm. as people, and they have an opportunity to go into a different culture and be in a different environment and be away from the U.S. and see how well they have it. So hopefully when they come back, they've grown a little mm-hmm. bit and they can accept a little bit more of an independent outlook on life and be a little bit more of a leader. And I just think that when you experience other things in your life, whether it's winning or losing or whether it's going to Australia or not, yeah. These are opportunities that that we just have to make happen.
Well, I know that two of you as parents anguished a bit about study abroad experiences for
yes,
your
we
own
do.
Children.
I was going to ask you a couple questions about guess, that here yeah, this summer. Yeah, yeah so
yeah, it's
but my oldest daughter went to Rome and mm-hmm. And did a 6-week yeah. Thing in the summer, and she had a great experience.
So these are difficult times for universities. We had four students in Ecuador mm-hmm. and you get a call and you watch the news, and but you also understand that that the world has changed a bit, and so we're spending a little bit more time with faculty, telling them how to interact with students about what to look for. I mean, some of this stuff is just random. It could happen here, actually, mm-hmm. In our world. But there are things that you can think about and do. And actually, the Israeli experiences we've had with putting students in Israel has given us a sort of a playbook for how to think about experiences around the world without limiting students' opportunity to learn and grow. But right. It's a worry.
No, I spoke last night, in fact, with Gil Harrell, who leads a group of marketing kids over there each year. And he went through, all the work that they've done this year in particular about safety, things to avoid, where not to be, what crowds that they feel comfortable with and what mm-hmm. crowds they don't. So, it's great to hear those comments when you're sending your daughter over for a week or so for that kind of an experience. So it's and we do some things with some of our teams as well. We're doing a pilot test we did with men's basketball last year as well as the women this year, where Coach D, in addition to his kids, is the parent of 100-plus kids, and I've got, our 800 or so, but you have 50,000 that you have to worry about on any moment's notice. And we do an incredible job here. I think you hear about the issues that come up, and they get a little publicity, but at the same time, we are a community of 50,000-plus mm-hmm. students plus all of our faculty.
Yeah, these are important life experiences because we want our students – our student athletes, our students, to have enough knowledge of the world to make to affect public policy in a positive way, mm-hmm. and to be a community leader, to be a corporate leader, to be potentially a political leader. And you have to have a variety of experiences, and some of those have some risks to them. And that's really one of the issues now facing football, as we try to find ways to mitigate risk for a game that is inherently risk-filled in terms of the collisions that happen. And I know you've been working with our faculty about different ways that we might be able to detect head impact mm-hmm. Beyond simply putting sensors in helmets, but some more sophisticated ways that, and you've been very open about that work with Sally Nogal and your team, so we thank you for that. But it's a challenge.
It is a challenge. And first of all, going back to the global, student involvement overseas and everything, so many, when I grew up, you didn't have those opportunities to go. It wasn't such a global world. Mm-hmm. And now when you talk to parents, hey, what do you do for a living? Well, I work for these people, but I travel a lot overseas. That's just almost standard when I hear that.
Yes.
So to give them some type of global knowledge, I think is beneficial. Then secondly, when you look at concussions or the risk of injury, I think it's sort of ongoing. Everything that we do, we're trying to be in a preventive, mm-hmm. take preventive measure against that. But Dr. Kaufman is a leading researcher in that area. He does an outstanding job, and we do base testing, and which talks about a baseline test for when you're not concussed, what you act like, and then when you get concussed, and then you have to let it clear. And so we're trying to do all the different things that are as positive as possible in this game. But it's a contact game. It's just the way it is. And quite honestly, big hits are celebrated. So here you have big hits being celebrated by everyone involved in the sport, but then you're at risk. So you have to be able to, I think, curtail it, practice it effectively, safely, and sort of build a foundation.
We had the chemist who are working with Dr. Kaufman and Sally. They have this sort of headband that has specially developed nano materials that hold a little liquid, and when you hit it, it has a little spot on it, and it permits you to know where and almost how much. And you can theoretically grow the material to tolerances where it will not burst if it's this hit, and it'll burst if it's this one. And it gives you another way of keeping kids honest, if I can say that in a particular way,
yeah,
about what's really happened to them, at least enough to assess them.
That's correct. And, you know, we're pretty much state of the art in everything that we're trying to do, cutting edge, and that is one of the things that that we're trying to do. And you know, we've had some guys, you know, get slight concussions, and we've kept them out. And I think the biggest thing when you look at concussions is, if anybody's listening out there with young players, is the younger the player, the longer you should keep them out. Mm-hmm. The older the player, the more they have a quicker ability to overcome this. So that would be my standard. But we have some guys out for, you know, 6-7 days sometimes.
Well, I think that we're not often – part of Michigan State's character is we don't often advertise how much we've been doing this work, you know, ever since you arrived with mm-hmm. Dr. Kaufman and been a part of it, the openness to technology, to experimentation that you've had. While others want to sort of make sure that that's a front page story, we just sort of work along in this and try to be sure that we keep our kids as safe as possible and take care of them as well as possible.
No, and I think while football gets a lot of the publicity and notoriety because of the magnitude of that sport, concussion is something that occurs in many different sports and many different walks of life. And wrestling, we have issues there that we follow up on. Volleyball, soccer is a leader, softball. So we are very aggressive in all those sports, but obviously football is gaining the attention, and it's something that we're very focused on at Michigan State and the Big Ten.
I was with in a professional meeting in Washington. A staff member got a call that his daughter had gotten a concussion, high school AAU volleyball. And they were very fortunate to have somebody there in this tournament who knew what to do sort of what to look for, you know, take away all stimuli, mm-hmm. do some things right away that will permit her to recover. But, you know, she's 15 years old, and she's in that young age group where it's very, very difficult. So these are good lessons for all of us. And if football can be a vanguard and a voice for getting more and more parents to pay attention to this, regardless of what sport their kids play, or if they fall off their bike, it's a great service for football.
Yeah, you learn things like get off your phone, don't watch TV, you know, limit the amount of light you have, and the stimulating areas like that, and you know, those are things that, you know, 3-4 years ago, I didn't know those things. Mm-hmm. So I think we're constantly being educated.
Right. But you have but the good thing about football and football coaches, you and Mark, there's a voice and people listen. Mm-hmm. And if you can help us to reinforce mm-hmm. these helpful hints to families who might not otherwise have the support that they need in the community, it's really an important role that sport plays that's minimized, I think.
So as a GA at Kansas, did you ever imagine the breadth of areas that you would have to manage as a head football coach? You talk about concussions, but we go into so many different areas that are really away from the game that a head coach in today's environment has to deal with.
No, I would imagine it's much like an administrator. In some ways, you know, you get pulled away from some of the things that brought you there sometimes to do more administrative work. And I always term it sort of like being a principal a little bit, that maybe you'd taught for a long time in math class or something, and you know, you want to go back into math class and get involved, but you don't want to mess them up either, because there's a structure there for that. But you know, I've tried to grow as in my position yearly, and always try and look outside the box and try and just make sure that we're empowering people and allowing people to grow. But yeah, I would say that you're right. I never really, when you look in, it wasn't even on my, I always tell our players, hey, dream big, but it wasn't even on that scope. I thought I was going to be a position coach, coordinator. You know, I would be coaching ball and maybe be a head coach at a smaller school.
You also do a really good job, I think, with your staff in ensuring that, you know, there's many on your staff that will have an opportunity to be a head coach at some point. Is putting them into positions where they can at least taste what that experience feels like, putting them on the road, speaking at events, having to deal with major issues as part of a group or being interviewed on radio or post game. You put them in environments, and I applaud you for that, and I'm sure that's one of your strategies.
Well, I want to empower them, and I want to see them grow, and hopefully it's in, you know, we talk about their goals, and you know, once a year, you know, you sit down and talk about staff evaluation. And we've had a great staff here, and we're in a situation like we are right now, winning championships and things of that nature, because I think of the continuity we've had on our coaching staff, the continuity we've had with our athletic director and our president, which I'm, you know, sitting here today with. Yeah. But I don't think that many people have that. And right now, you know, 10 years in as a head football coach, you look around the country, there's probably not a lot of them. But I would bet that there's not a lot of presidents have been sitting there for 12 years or so. Same with athletic director. Right. There's not many that have been able to keep their mind on that, and that term, that scope that you guys are on, be able to keep their hands on that and be able to just keep the rudder steady.
That's why it's good to have a team spirit among us that's genuine and not something that's just trotted out for a banquet or right. As people do. So you want to talk a little football? Or
that'd be great.
Okay, so I'll let you do that part.
Well, we're just, you know, just coming off the spring game, and this is the summertime, so this is an opportunity for you to look back at what happened throughout the spring as we prepare already for fall camp. And I know your staff's busy at work, but kind of give us a reflection about what you saw in the spring and where you see the program heading going into August.
Well, first of all, I think we've got a football team that expects to win, and so they're motivated by that aspect. You know, obviously we graduated some very good players, and they've gone on to the draft, and they've gone on to their respective teams. So we'll miss those guys, but that's the cycle of college athletics. I think we have a very good young team. They've got a basis, junior-led team sort of. Got some seniors that are very strong as well, but I think it's more of a junior-led team in the respect that you know, when you group the juniors and seniors together, it's pretty strong. Got a lot of guys who've played a lot of football here, and the expectations are high. There's certain position groups that are very, I think, deep. But I think we tackle well on the perimeter on the defensive side of the ball. We've got some big play wide receivers, got three very good backs. I think our quarterback situation can be solid, and I think we didn't lose a coach again this year. So I think what we've tried to do is critique what we've done and try to improvise and get a little bit better. So we're going to find out what that's all about as we get into August. But feel good about our football team. Right now, I think we're 22-2 or 23-2 maybe. I'm in the Big Ten Conference in the last 3 years. So, you know, we've got a chance.
Notre Dame is back on our schedule for the next 2 years. Talk a little bit about that being back in
Yeah, I think that's a rivalry game. And, you know, you read back the history of Michigan State. They were largely responsible for us getting in the Big Ten. So, a great opponent. They play a very tough schedule. I think the game will be at Notre Dame this year. It should be a nationally televised game. And I think what you see now happening in college football, you see Ohio State playing Oklahoma, and you see, you know, LSU playing Wisconsin. There are big games on the docket for Big Ten teams. Mm-hmm. And you multiply that with 9 conference games, and you've got a strong schedule for every football team that's in the Big Ten. If they're going to go anywhere, do anything with it, they're going to have to play somebody real. And, you know, Notre Dame's a real opponent.
When you turn your eyes back to Spartan Stadium, we have an opportunity. We'll host once again a Friday night game, which leads into Labor Day weekend, part of the opportunity to let folks celebrate, you know, closing down the cottages and enjoy that Labor Day weekend. But we also have BYU, Ohio State, Michigan, several other really good home games. And that's, you know, you look at that from the advantage of winning games, but you also look at the advantage that has in propelling recruiting for football, recruiting for all mm-hmm. sports, opportunities on campus for various colleges to have large celebrations. So it's really a home schedule that really plays a positive in so many different aspects.
It really is. You know, we play Wisconsin here as well, and so all those games are going to be packed. Wisconsin travels, so does Ohio State, so obviously does Michigan. Somehow they creep in there. But, you know, so it's a great, attractive home schedule, and our guys are going to be excited to play. And we're tough. We're especially tough in Spartan Stadium. And, you know, we get our students are very much involved. You know, we had 500 students come out to practice last week. We've had them, mm-hmm. or a couple weeks ago, I guess. And then also, you know, run out for the spring game. So that was an exciting event as mm-hmm. well. So so we have a lot of people back in the Spartans. And right now it's a feel-good story, so we got to keep it that way.
You know, it is a very tough schedule, and you talk about winning. You know, and football coaches, you know, have to be sort of a triple threat in terms of, you know, obviously the games issue, but also this academic performance and the capacity to develop people. And, you know, obviously over the last period of time, we've been really good at all three of those things. And this is a really, from my perspective, this nine-game Big Ten season makes it really tough. I think we're playing with BYU and Notre Dame, probably one of the tougher schedules out there. In terms of adding that to the mix. And, you know, young teams are young teams. And so I just enjoy the fact that we're a program, and we're a program to be contended with no matter who's on the list of the Big Ten or nationally. And if you think about when you came and where we are now, you know, independent of what the exact number is going to be next year, you know, we're a program to be contended with. We'll be a program to be contended with the next year and the next year and the next year, because we've built the depth. You've recruited kids of quality. Not perfectly, because you can't recruit 18-year-olds or 16-year-olds with perfect sight. But by and large, the proportions are really good. And that's really the part that I think for university is so critical, to have the right people, the right values, and always build towards a sustainable program. And this is really, you know, I know there are some coaches who don't like me saying this, and some people, but, you know, you'd have to look a long time to find Michigan State in this position. And there are very few places around the country that are actually in this kind of program definition moment. And you've helped get us there. And we thank you for that. And it's going to be fun to watch these young kids, you know, particularly some of those wide receivers.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I really think that coaching is teaching. Truly, if you get into coaching, you need to get in for the right reasons, you know. And you know, right now you're the head coach of Michigan State. I understand all the things that go along with that financially and everything else, responsibility-wise and all that. But coaching is teaching. And as long as you maintain that approach, empower your players and help them overachieve and provide growth for them as people, you hope that that's what defines you ultimately. But I keep telling our players, you know, anticipate the difficult by managing the easy. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've done here. We've managed the easy. You know, as easy, it's difficult, but if I stand up there and say we all have to go in one direction on the first day I got this job, we can be champions. That's an easy statement.
And you had your Ohio State ring on to prove it.
Yeah, that's the only ring I had at that time. Yep. But that's easy to say that. That's easy to say that. Yeah. Much more difficult to do. But if we just move together, and you two have been really instrumental in our success, I really mean that, because there have been tough times. But every time that there's been a tough time, you guys have provided the support in all sincerity, and you know that's. That's how you get to the top.
Right. The joke about the ring is that while I was navigating the board, Roy went in with you to meet with team. And so what he talked about, you know, that if we all go together, and then you pointed to the championship ring from Ohio State and said, this could be yours.
Right.
Yeah. This could be yours.
You know, kind of to close this off, I think in your walk, you have so many different examples of success. And as you look at the NFL draft, as you look at players that have played in the league, that's one avenue for success. We've had other individuals come out of the program and do great things in business. Mike Sadler is perhaps one of the more recent examples, and we have already set him up with Dr. Mike Longacre, who is a surgeon at Stanford, with Bernard Muir, who is the athletic director at Stanford. But Mike is headed to law school at Stanford, has been accepted, and he's headed that direction, and he's very excited. But when you look at stories like that, it's got to be pleasing to see individuals that have not only competed on the field but are also trying to pursue their life in a positive way based on what they learned from you and from others here at Michigan State.
Yeah, I saw Mike last about a week ago, and he was talking to me about Stanford and going there to law school and everything. And I still remember when we went to the Rose Bowl, the things that I had forgotten, you know, I'd written him a postcard, you know, you'll punt in the Rose Bowl. and he puts that out there, and it's just you know, when I saw that, it was just stark reality that that was going to happen.
Yeah.
And so it's great to see our players' dreams come true. It's great to see our dreams come true, yeah. all of ours. I remember, right. Mark, you talking about our feet, yeah. our yeah. cleats being in the middle of the Rose Bowl. So it's that's what you do. That's what you're trying to do, you know. And I've said it before, you know, I think I was hired here to try and make people happy. So I'm trying. It doesn't mean I golf great, okay, but I'm trying. So we'll just keep trying to move in that direction. And, again, I'm just humbled to be here.
Well, you have made people happy, and keep yourself happy, too.
Right.
Go green.
Take care.
Thanks, guys. Go White. Thanks.